7 o'clock. Good morning, Pyle. Thanks for getting your Thursday started with us. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bose Arth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Rockies get swept by Philly, though. There was some fight in the Rockies last night. There was some fight.
A little bit. A little battle.
5-run, 8th inning. But they came up a run short, losing 7-6. So they're 4-16, which is, congratulations, 2024 Colorado Rockies, officially now the worst start in franchise history.
Hey, all right.
Hey,
but only through 20 games. When we get to 25, might be better.
Yeah, could be.
It won't be. It might be.
Possibly.
Every 10 games.
I mean, there's always a way to go. Well, it could be worse than fill in the blank.
They had a chance to get this one, I won't say over early. Man, you got runners at the corners and no out, and you get out of there with one run scored.
It's not good.
Talk about a punchless offense. Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. Good night for Ezekiel Tovar. 3-for-5, scored a run. Drove in a couple.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a good night.
McMahon with a two-hit night. Jacob Stallings. The well-traveled Jacob Stallings is, good little backup catcher.
Mm-hmm.
He was 2-for-3.
We talked about how good Ryan Feltner had been. He got ambushed a little bit.
Yeah, he did. Gave up 6 runs last night.
Homers on back-to-back pitches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goes 5 1/3.
Hey, at least you got Bryce Harper to punch out.
Hey, you got 8 strikeouts. That's,
yeah, he did.
That's not.
Yeah, he did. Got
not nothing.
Got Bryce twice, I think.
I believe that is correct. So. Harper went 1-for-4.
But Schwarber with a big fly, and Trey Turner, next pitch, big fly. And
well, Schwarber, 2 big flies last night. 2 home runs, drove in 3.
Real Muto, single, double, single. Yeah. It's like, yikes.
Yeah.
It was 1-0. I went into the kitchen to help with dinner and looked at the TV, and it was 4-1. I'm like, what is going on here? Like, this game literally just started.
And so now, I said there. 4-16. We'll see what happens.
But Christopher Sanchez with 10 strikeouts for the Phillies.
Oh.
Hey, but only one person struck out 3 times. It was Ryan McMahon.
But he also had a couple of hits last night.
He also had a couple of hits, so we'll allow it.
Yeah.
I mean, they did scatter 11 hits. They just,
Pardon me, 4-15. I think I said 16. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Tomorrow.
Seattle comes up. 4-15.
That's tomorrow night.
I think I mistakenly said 16. Yes, 4-15 for the Rockies.
It's about 40 hours from right now. They'll be 4-16.
Yeah. Now we'll hear from Bud Black coming up. I just don't, the fact that they chase, once again, this seems like a Rockies narrative. One of the many Rockies narratives. How they love to chase pitches out of the strike zone. And their chase rate is,
it's off the charts.
It's off the charts. Not in a good way.
No.
It's 33%. It's second highest in the majors. You just shake your head. I mean, they said Schwarber with the 432-foot bomb off Feltner last night. It's like with Philadelphia, pick your poison.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of handcuff Harper last night, and then Schwarber delivers with a big game.
Yeah, we talk about the Dodgers. There's 4 guys in that lineup that are MVP caliber, top 4. Schwarber, Turner, Harper, Real Muto. Like, you're not going to be able to get all of them to go over on the same
run. No.
You just hope that you keep some of them in the yard. And they really like couldn't do that last
because
night.
Because if those guys don't get you, Castellanos will.
Yeah, Brandon Stott, Marsh, Alec Bohm,
Stott could.
Yeah.
It is very much a pick-your-poison lineup. There's no doubt about that.
Nick Castellanos not doing it right now, but he's a professional hitter. That guy can, you know, work an at-bat on you. Brandon Marsh, good, young-ish player. He's not, you know, Ezekiel Tovar or anything, but still on the younger side. He's like 25, 26, somewhere around there. So they got a lot of good young players. Just mainly their top of the order is all over 30. That's crazy to think about. Bryce,
yeah.
Trey Turner, Real Muto, Castellanos, Schwarber, they're all only 31 or 32, but still it feels like they've been, Bryce Harper especially, has been around for 20 years.
Yeah, because it feels like Bryce was here last week.
Yeah. Getting the heave-ho, the JUCO. He gone. Little Hawk Harrelson.
Drawing the line.
Yeah.
Line in the dirt.
He gone.
Don Gilmore. Nope, not going to take that.
Yeah, now you're out of here, son.
You're gone.
Then suspended for a game. They lost that game, and his college career was over. And I don't think he really is bothered.
And then I think the thing that gets kind of glossed over, it's always that's brought up,
mm-hmm.
where he stomped on the leg of the San Jack first baseman.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
When he was frustrated, he grounded out, and he's run down first.
Mm-hmm.
It clearly just stomps on the guy's ankle.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man. It's one thing where you try to show up an umpire. That's never good.
Mm-hmm.
And remember how what a huge debate that was around here?
Yeah.
With those that love Bryce Harper and want to protect Bryce Harper and mm-hmm. thought Harper was great and he was a great story. And, well, it was a bad call. He has a right to show it was a bad call. Nah, you can turn and maybe say something to the home plate umpire as you walk off.
Right.
Yep. Sorry, man. That was a bad call. I was outside. And walk back to the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
But when you intentionally draw a line where the pitch, where you thought the pitch was, God, you're not going to win any friends doing that.
No.
You're not going to positively influence a home plate umpire to give you a borderline call the next time around.
And I agree with all of that. And I also think it's unfair to, now 15 years later, almost, some people are like, ugh, what a jerk. You remember what he did when he was 17?
Exactly. And that's where I bring all that stuff, because that's
what he did over the course of 3 days when he was 17.
Right. And I'm not trying to.
No, not you. Yeah.
Because that's what he did. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what he did when he was here. You know, in the minors, he blew kisses after home runs. And
there's also other stuff he did when he was here that no one talks about.
Yeah.
On the good side.
On the good side. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I heard he really liked the ladies when he was here, but him and a lot of other 17-year-old, 18-year-old JUCO players, they're young guys. Mm-hmm. They like the ladies. You know,
if you're living in Vegas playing baseball at a JUCO, you're not that popular. Come to Grand Junction, it's a different story.
All of a sudden, you're a rock star.
Yeah,
particularly a guy like him at that point in time, which was on the covers SI
mm-hmm.
as a high school
player.
He's
weeks away from making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I get it. Good-looking kid.
Good-looking man. But you're right. The things that he did, like with the Challenger mm-hmm. players, other things that he did with young fans here.
Yeah.
And just, you know.
Still a jerk. It's like,
you know,
come on.
He got a lot of heat for the clown question, bro.
Yeah.
Which was a bad question.
It was a clown question.
It was a stupid question he got asked. I'm with you. I don't have the
right.
Harper's. People are allowed to grow and change and evolve.
And I don't go out of my way to defend Bryce Harper a lot. The guy that he blew kisses at did throw at him first.
So he.
I mean, he threw at his head. Bryce took him deep the next at bat like, and then blew kisses at him. So. One, that's a baller thing to do. Two, I get it doesn't make Bryce look great, but you didn't do this because I know I know where you come down on Bryce Harper. Like, people use that as an indictment on his character, as if he's out here instigating everything. He instigates some things.
But there was a period there after that thing with Don Gilmore where it was either
he should be banned from baseball.
Either he was the worst guy in the world.
Yeah.
Or he was
an angel and didn't do anything wrong.
He didn't do anything wrong. That guy made a bad call.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Don might have made a bad call, but you just don't do that.
Right.
You just don't. You can turn and say something.
It's one of those, but funny, probably shouldn't have done it.
Shouldn't have done it. Probably was right.
Yeah.
But it doesn't help the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what you do when you're young and you're full of, pardon the phrase, you're piss and vinegar.
Yeah.
I think we're okay with that in the FCC. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just that kind of guy, and you're a competitive young guy, and you're going to be the top pick in Major League Baseball's amateur draft.
And also, you're 17 and on the cover of SI.
And so you're going to probably do things that later in life you go, yeah, that was probably not a smart
move. And pressure gets to you.
Because they came in here like the favorites to win the whole thing, and they didn't. Because of Harper's presence.
Mm-hmm.
And
media out the wazoo.
Yeah, I mean, national media were here.
Mm-hmm. He's the only player that's ever had his own press conference.
Yep, that's never happened. That was it, yeah. It's the only time we've ever seen that.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I just think any time we talk about Harper, about what happened here, you have to put in the context of, like you said, how old he was, the circumstances around him, and would you have been any better than him? Maybe you would have. Maybe you would have been more mature and more classy about it. And I don't know. Maybe you would. Or maybe you would have been worse. I don't know. I can't.
But under that spotlight, there's no telling how. Because I don't know if anybody has been under that hot of a spotlight.
He was going to
say, I would have handled that better.
He was going to be the number one player picked.
Mm-hmm.
And there was very little doubt about it at that point in time. He was going to be the number one guy.
Yeah. But he left high school early, so he didn't have to wait till he was 18 to get drafted.
So he could, go play a year of junior college baseball, get some experience at a higher level, just be there for 1 year, and then get drafted by the Nats, and
play 4 months of junior college baseball, and then go get drafted by the Nationals,
and be the top pick in the draft. So
you don't have to like him, but you got to put it all, like you said, you got to put it all into a context. You can't just cherry pick the things about Bryce. It's like, you believe what he does with his hair? What, you mean after he hits 400-foot home runs?
So what?
Yeah, I can. At that point, would do the same thing.
He's got a beard. He's got a mustache. He's got really long hair. Yeah. So what? Who cares?
He's got a great car. He's never once been arrested. He's
has
children with the woman he was dating in, I think it's his high school sweetheart. Does great things with charity, but yes, tell me about how terrible of a person he is.
I'm with you on that. And
of stupid things over the course of a few months when he was 17.
It's like one of those things that, and maybe we should talk about this today. It's like narratives that never go away about, even though times change and things change.
Yeah.
And facts kind of come into play that were, that are different now.
Opinion turns into fact.
Exactly. Like Bryce Harper is still this big jerk. Yeah, and
what an immature jerk.
No, he's not. And he hasn't actually been that way for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Tim Tebow narrative that how dare the Broncos do that to Tim Tebow?
Yeah.
How dare they go out and get Peyton Manning? Because I had the question yesterday that we did. The franchise passer rating, playoff passer rating question. He still has the highest passer rating for Broncos quarterback in the postseason. You still hear whispers of that from people.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're in the spot they're in now because of what they did to Tim Tebow.
They won a Super Bowl because they went out and
to two. They set all sorts of bajillion records.
Because Peyton Manning, even though Super Bowl 50 was not his crowning achievement from a personal standpoint, from a stat standpoint. It was not even a pedestrian game for PFM.
Still his fourth career Super Bowl.
But his presence in them getting to Super Bowl 48, his mere presence there put them in a position to bring in the talent that they had, and his leadership, even though he wasn't the player that he was, allowed them to have a roster that that got them to a Super Bowl and won it just by his presence and people wanting to play with Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm. And it's cherry-picking, too, with Tim Tebow, because no one anywhere says, look at how bad the Mets are. It's because they cut Tim Tebow.
Yeah, it's another thing that the people, it's myth that people think. It's a falsehood. It's a myth a little bit. That Dan O'Dowd was like the worst GM ever in Rockies history. Because you hear that occasionally, how bad Dan O'Dowd was. Was he not the GM when they went to the World Series?
Yeah.
And you still hear that. Oh, Dan O'Dowd was so bad.
Look at all these guys Jeff Breidich traded. You mean all the guys that Dan O'Dowd drafted? I was there, too. I was very much a Dan O'Dowd is currently the worst GM in Rockies history when he was there. Little did I know how much worse it could get. I'm like, stop trading people. Stop making trades, Dan.
Dealing now, Dan.
You know, 10 years later, and it's like, all right, let's do something. Anything. Can we trade somebody for anything? Are we going to continually sign 36-year-old guys to minor league deals to play first base? So,
and I was probably there with you during the stretch
for
of that.
The days of Dan O'Dowd.
Yeah, there was probably a stretch where I was like, yeah, Dan O'Dowd, man. It's and then when they hired Breidich, oh, geez, he learned the feet of
Another
Dan O'Dowd.
Disciple.
Here we go. Jeff Breidich was not even a poor man's Dan O'Dowd.
He was just poor.
Just not very good. Seemed like a nice enough guy. Okay.
Sure.
But there was also some smugness there.
Jeff Breidich,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There was some Ivy League smugness on the part of Jeff Breidich.
He came across as a tool.
So I'm trying to think the best way to phrase this. Things that we felt previously that we don't feel now. Things that we thought were fact. That after years have gone by, you go, yeah, that wasn't probably necessarily true, was it? That wasn't true.
Favorite changed narrative.
There we go. Thank you. I love how we workshop it on air. Your favorite changed narrative.
This wasn't even the discussion point when we started the show, let alone before the show. We just kind of happened upon this.
Yeah, we were talking about, we started talking about Harper. Harper played last night, and it just kind of evolves into, your favorite change narrative.
Because he's probably the guy, just on a general basis, that people remember the most being here for JUCO.
True.
At least recently.
I mean, there have been great players that have been here, going back to Kirby Puckett, Jay Buhner, Schilling.
The notoriety and the recency.
Jose Rosado. But yeah, most recently, and probably, to be fair, Harper's the biggest name.
Most hype coming into the tournament, for sure.
It was Frankie Rodriguez had a lot of hype, though. He had a lot of hype because of his pitcher hitter. Yeah, he was bonus baby guy. There was a lot of hype about him. Played for Howard back in the day, and there was a ton of hype about him. But Frankie Rodriguez did not have his own press conference.
Nope.
Even as much ballyhooed as he was, he did not have that. And his career certainly did not go the way Bryce Harper's career has gone. I think it's interesting how Harper was vilified and hated by people. That continued on. Some of that he probably didn't entirely help.
Some of it he brought upon himself,
But then now if there's people, I still hate that guy. Well, because of something he did when he was 17 years old.
Right.
So
now if it's like a respect hate, like, God, I hate that guy. That's different.
But man, he's good.
But the, I just hate him. Like, all right, well, calm down. He's not a White Sox. Just chill.
Calm down.
Yeah.
All right, 7:19's time for.
What's happening?
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal, helping your business grow. They support and secure your business technology consistently and professionally. As your technology partner, ComWest maximizes your investment and ensures your office technology is working efficiently, giving you peace of mind so you can focus on growing your business. And they can help you with a variety of things. Business phone system, surveillance, network support, cybersecurity, backup and disaster recovery. They service the Western Slope. So give them a call today at ComWest if you need help with your IT needs, 970-242-8142. You go to comwestcorp.com. All right, lead things off with the Rockies, who rallied but came up short last night in Philadelphia, losing at Citizens Bank Park to the Phillies by the score of 7-6. They scored 5 runs in the 8th inning as shortstop Ezekiel Tovar went 3-for-5 with a run scored and 2 RBIs. Backup catcher Jacob Stallings and third baseman Ryan McMahon each had 2 hits apiece as Colorado falls to 4-15, the worst start in franchise history. After going 1-5 on the road trip, the Rockies are back home to host Seattle tomorrow. Pre-game starts at 6 tomorrow night on the Team Sports Network. Outside of a potential Nathan MacKinnon record for points in a season, the Avalanche's regular season finale against Edmonton tonight will be moot. The Avs are already locked into a playoff series with Winnipeg, and they cannot move up or down in the standings in a Denver Post column. Sean Keeler argues that the Avs are lacking grit. Voice of the Avs, Connor McGehee, politely disagrees.
I don't know that that's entirely true. I mean, say that to Josh Manson. Say that to Nathan MacKinnon, even. I just think that the Avalanche have to have the mindset of playoff hockey, which they will, which includes grit.
Avs Edmonton tonight from Ball Arena on the Team. Pregame at 7 for that one with Connor McGehee. Colorado Mesa women's basketball standout Olivia Reed is carving another notch in her resume. Reed was named to the College Sports Communicators Academic All-America team, being selected third team. This is Reed's first Academic All-America Award and the 5th player in Maverick women's basketball history named Academic All-American. She was named RMAC Player of the Year, Academic Player of the Year, All-District All-Academic Honoree, and a 3.92 GPA as a health and fitness promotion manager. For the Maverick men, Trevor Baskin made program history as the first CMU men's basketball player to be named First Team Academic All-American. The honor was gifted to Baskin by the College Sports Communicators. He is the third ever Mav to earn any mention in the yearly Academic All-America teams, joining Landon Kessler in 2002 and Jeff Hart in 2013. Baskin posted to X, "Tremendous honor. Will always be a Mav." Trevor's among several men's basketball players that will be going into the transfer portal. Grand Junction High wrestler Tanner Roerig signed his letter of intent on Wednesday to join Colorado Mesa's wrestling team. Roerig says he looked at other schools but recently developed a connection with the Mavericks program.
I would always go in the room there just the last, like, month or two. And it's just a really good group of guys, and they're just good to be around, and it's just close to home.
Roerig finished 5th at 132 pounds at the state wrestling tournament. His teammate Murphy Harris is also staying close to home after he signed with Western Colorado University. Tigers golfer Maddox Lovato signed with Iowa Western. 5 Fruto Monument athletes signed their letters of intent Wednesday. Wildcat swimmer Kendall Wilkinson signed her letter to become part of the CMU Maverick swim team. She says the long success of the CMU swim and dive teams was a big factor in her wanting to become a Maverick.
So I've just seen their success throughout the years and the continued improvement from that coach Mickey Wender and all the other athletes have helped carry and develop this program. And it was just, the success was really inspiring and something that I wanted to be a part of and contribute to.
Other athletes that signed for Fruta yesterday, Ava Stevens will play softball at Colorado Northwest Community College. Also, Addie Airborne cross country at Adams State. Raina Roberts will play softball at Northeastern Junior College. And Mason Compton will play lacrosse at Dominican University in California. And that's a look at
what's happening.
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology service partner. If you need IT help for your business, they are the ones to call, the team that will help you achieve your highest goals. Give them a call today, ComWest, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. All right, 723, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Your favorite change narrative, like Bryce Harper being an absolute jerk, and now you don't think he's a jerk anymore. The Broncos made this big mistake by not sticking with Tim Tebow. Dan O'Dowd
punished.
Was the worst GM in Rockies history. Some of those things that have, I think, certainly have changed over the years. Maybe for some of you, you still cling to those narratives. Even though times have changed.
I kind of want to find out the most ridiculous narrative in the pile. Is it really that Bryce Harper's the most evil human being because he dared tell a wrong umpire that he was wrong? That sort of thing.
We both agree he shouldn't have done that.
Yes. But it's also hilarious. Kind of in a vacuum on its own. It is like, dang. Especially after the bomb he hit earlier in the tournament.
Yeah.
Again, kind of baller to be like, you know what? If that pitch was a strike, I would have swung at it.
Yeah, that ball would not be in the yard anymore. Bye-bye, Mr. Baseball. Yes.
Put that one in an Italian boat because it is gondola.
We won't go into we won't quote any of the cheating wife game.
No, we've already had to use the dump button once this week.
Yeah, and I don't want to do that again.
No.
All right, 7:25. We'll take a break. We'll come back. You can text or call us. Your favorite change sports narrative. We'd love to hear it today. You can text or call us on the team line, 970-242-1340.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warped, twisted individuals. Yes.
Yeah! The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, Jim of the Buckeye Boy. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. Your favorite change narrative. Dan O'Dowd was the worst GM ever. Broncos should have stayed with Tim Tebow. Bryce Harper, once a jerk, still a jerk. You got some of those changed narratives we'd love to hear. Or, like you're saying, Buckeye, like what were you looking for, the most outlandish one?
Yeah, what's the most ridiculous narrative that you still hold true?
That you're just not going to back off of.
Right.
That you are staying with that till you're on your deathbed.
Now, if it's tongue-in-cheek, like, you know it's ridiculous, but you still gleefully cling to it, that's different than actually
believing. No, I believe this. Yeah. And if you still truly believe that, tell us why.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a reason why. All right, so before we talk about the Rockies losing to the Phillies, Chris Bryant on the 10-day injured list, retroactive to April 14th, with a low back strain. So
that took him all the way to April 14th.
Yep.
Imagine that.
My back.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel very good, Skip.
Oh, man, Skip, all those swings and misses hurt.
Oh.
Eek.
Yeah, and so here we go. Here we go again. Chris Bryant hurt once again, and I just will this go down as the worst in terms of dollars, the worst signing in Rockies history? It's starting to feel that way, isn't it? $182 million for him to currently hit 149. Got a dinger, got six ribbies, also struck out 18 times.
At least Daniel Murphy played in 172 games.
Yeah.
Hit 269. Not great, but not terrible.
Desmond
played in almost 400 games.
Yeah.
Had almost 50 home runs in his time with the Rockies.
And that was, what, $75 million for him, I believe?
Yeah.
Which looks like a freaking bargain.
Looks like a deal, yeah.
Compared to $182 million for Chris Bryant.
Chris Bryant's had 135 games in 2+ seasons. And he's hitting .249 with 16 home runs.
Oh. And he's on the injured list again.
Mm-hmm. He's having a very decent, very solid season in his career with the Rockies. 135 games, 16 homers, 51 RBI, .249. An OPS plus of 90, so 10% below league average. That's a very average season, and he's done it in 3 years.
Is it the worst contract, not in Rockies history, but maybe in Colorado sports history?
Ooh. I'm going to say no based on the fact that I believe the Chris Bryant part is incomplete just yet. Until they pay a large portion of that salary for him to play with the Pirates, I'm going to say no.
Yeah, that's...
I'm looking at you, Danger Russ. That right now stands as the worst contract in Colorado sports history.
Yeah, the book is yet to be completed on Chris Bryant.
Yeah, until they do the old Mike Hampton, trade him to Florida to Atlanta to have Florida pay for most of his salary, and he only plays there for two starts. This is still incomplete.
But it's in strong contention.
Oh yeah, it's up on the Rushmore of bad contracts. Right there with like Paul Kariya.
Yeah.
His 5 weeks with the Avalanche, I think.
Brian Shaw got 3 years, $27 million. Just
that's a nothing. $27 million. that's a nothing burger.
I know, that's like the $75 million. Wade Davis, 3 years, $52 million, but at least Wade Davis holds the franchise record for saves in a season.
Yes.
At least he's got that going for him. The Mike Hampton one, 8 years, $121 million.
Not great.
That hurts.
Not great, but at least there was something fun about Mike Hampton.
Because he'd hit the occasional bomb.
He'd hit like 10 or 11 dingers in a year once. You know, so there's that. His ERA was under 6 for the Rockies, at least.
Broncos, there's a lot of them. Russ, obviously, first. But, I mean, just in the last year or two, Randy Gregory's deal is pretty bad. Mike McGlinchey's deal is not looking great.
Yeah.
But at least Mike McGlinchey started and played in all the Broncos games for the most part this season. Did he miss one start? I'm trying to remember if he missed one start.
I think he might have missed one or two games.
But overall, he answered the bell. May not have been what the Broncos were hoping for from McGlinchey, but
Mike Hampton has as many home runs and more RBI in his time in the major leagues than Chris Bryant does with his 3 years for the Rockies. And that's over 700 plate appearances, 16 home runs, 79 RBIs for Mike Hampton. He's also got 3 stolen bases.
Yeah, Chris Bryant is, like I said, well, like we talked about, he hasn't surpassed Russ.
Denny Nagel.
Denny Nagel, the train whistles. That was a big deal that did not work out.
Mm-hmm. Gave him a lot of money, which he did not spend wisely.
No, he did not. No, he did not. All right, 7:35. And so the Rockies losing 7-6 last night. They get swept in the 3-game series by the Phillies. And Rockies go 1-5 on the road trip. They're 4-15 to start the season, the worst start in franchise history. And as we discussed, that you know Ezekiel Tovar had a decent game last night. He actually had a really good game. He was 3-for-5, drove in a couple of runs, scored a run last night, 2-hit night for McMahon, also a 2-hit night for Jacob Stallings as well. Ryan Feltner, we're lauding the start of the season for Ryan Feltner. Until he ran into Kyle Schwarber last night, who hit 2 bombs. Feltner, 5 and a third.
One off the scoreboard.
Yeah, Feltner, 5 and a third, 9 hits, 6 runs, 8 strikeouts. Got that going for him. And 2 walks last night. Peter Lambert, a couple of hits last night, gave up a run in relief. And then Justin Lawrence came on and finished it off, giving up a hit last night. But the Rockies, who score 5 runs in the 8th, they can't come all the way back. They lose 7-6. And after the game, Bud Black talking about another Rockies setback, another 1-run loss for Colorado as they wrap up, as I mentioned, the road trip 1-5.
Good sinker, good slider, and good change. Again, I mean, good stuff. I mean, he and Suarez, sort of similar, right? I think Suarez probably a little bit better command of the off speed, but I mean, legit sinker, a little harder than Suarez. 93, 94, 95 was sink and movement, tight slider and a good change. I mean, that doesn't surprise me. You know, this is a great group of competitors. You know, we're falling short right now here in the first 2 or 3 weeks of April, but these guys will not, they won't melt. They'll keep fighting and things will turn. We have at bats like we had there in the 8th, laying off pitches. I think tonight was an example of, you know, the chase again has come back to haunt us. It's come back to chase a lot of our younger hitters. So, I mean, the chase rate, something we've talked about in spring training, we started talking about it last September, hasn't come to fruition as far as a group laying off the low breaking ball.
All right, so there's Bud Black. Talking about Christopher Sanchez, the six innings, five hits. Did not give up a run last night. He had the 10 strikeouts last night. As we talked about, the Rockies' chase rate is second worst in Major League Baseball right now. Not a lot of play discipline by the Rockies as they lose 7-6 last night. So
they were atrocious at the plate last night. They got bailed out in the eighth with the five runs. I don't know. They were dominated last night. At 18 strikes due to a swing and a miss. Feltner had 22, but that's because the Phillies were up there just hacking.
Yeah.
That's not a good plate discipline team either.
And they ran into a couple.
Yeah, they...
Schwarber, most notably.
At least he's not hitting like 178 with a OPS of like 200. Yeah. You know, like he's at least over the Mendoza line.
That's true. So right now, National League West, Rockies are 12-9. Excuse me, I wish the Rockies were 12-9. Dodgers are 12-9. Padres 11-10. Diamondbacks 9-10. Giants 8-11. Rockies 4-15. And still tied with the Marlins for the worst record in the National League.
Yeah.
White Sox though gaining some ground. White Sox pick up a win.
Yeah, they did.
3-15 now. Then the Astros. Losing to the Braves last night. Extra innings.
Yeah, I saw that. I think the Astros, they went up in that game too. They were up like 3-2 at one point, and they just weren't able to solidify anything there. That's another team that's got some problems with the strikeout.
Yeah, they lost 5-4 to the Braves last 5-4 to the Braves last night at home. So
Max Fried was not sharp for the Braves, and they're not hitting the way they normally are, but Ronald Acuna Jr. got his first of the year last night, a home run. I think it went dead center. Ozuna hit another one. He's the guy that's really been carrying them offensively.
All right, 7:40. So Rockies are off today. They come back to Coors Field to take on Seattle tomorrow night. And Emerson Hancock will get the ball Friday night for Seattle. He's a right-handed pitcher, 1-2, with an ERA of 7.98. Dakota Hudson goes to the Rockies, 0-3, with a 4.15 ERA. And then Saturday, it's Luis Castillo against Kyle Freeland. Sunday, it's George Kirby against Cal Quantrill. So tomorrow night, you can hear that game on the team. Pre-game at 6, first pitch at 6:40. The Rockies entertain the Seattle Mariners. All right, 7:41. And coming up, you'll hear some of the interviews we did with National Signing Day yesterday, bringing the Grand Junction Tigers that signed yesterday. And then later on, we'll have a couple of the Fruit of Monument Wildcats that signed their letters of intent yesterday as well. Congratulations to all those student athletes moving on in their athletic and academic careers. And time right now for soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Well, this comes to us from inside the NBA on TNT, Charles Barkley and the gang. After the Warriors got bounced by the Kings in the play-in tournament, and Klay Thompson went 0 points for the evening in like 33 minutes. It was not great. And Charles Barkley, another killer of a line when talking about Klay Thompson.
He has reportedly lowered his...
Well, he gonna have to.
Yeah, well, but I'm saying, so he's not like...
Yeah, but Ernie, but he's not gonna get better. He gonna make less money, but he ain't gonna get no better. Older people don't get... Sports ain't for old people, they're for young people. That's no disrespect. Klay's a Hall of Famer. But he's lowered his number, but he ain't... You know, just because he lowered his number don't mean he gonna play better as he ages.
Sports ain't for old people, it's for young people. I love it. It's fantastic.
And he's...
But sports ain't for old people, they're for young people.
I love Chuck's right about that.
Yeah. King Charles did get cut, and then canceled by CNN, though.
Yeah, it did. Which, so. I watched a little bit, it was a good show.
Gayle King's great.
You know, we got some criticism because we didn't know that it was on.
Mm-hmm. But it's like the second Tuesday of every month or something like that. It was.
Yeah, it had a little bit of a wonky schedule.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Gail King's great. Gail King is awesome.
Yeah. Clever name for the show. But unfortunately, just
didn't catch on. Just got the accent.
Yeah, didn't grab the traction that CNN was hoping for. All right, so as far as the play-in tournament goes, of course, the Lakers beat New Orleans the other night, so the Nuggets will have the Lakers to open up the playoffs Saturday night right here on the team with pregame at 6 o'clock. So with New Orleans losing, Golden State, which we referenced, losing to Sacramento, it'll be Sacramento and New Orleans for the eighth seed coming up tomorrow night. And then in the Eastern Conference, Philadelphia beat Miami, Chicago. Well, they put it to Atlanta, 131-116.
Oof.
And so it'll be Chicago against Miami for the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. All right, 744. We'll take a break. We'll come back with some of the conversations we had with the student athletes that signed yesterday at Grand Junction High School. That's on the way next on the Jim Davis Show.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Thursday morning. Next hour around the NFL. Plus, we'll have Who Is It, the Pile's favorite game on a Thursday. Yesterday, signing day at Grand Junction High School, also at Fruto Monument. We'll bring you a couple of the Wildcat conversations that Tyler Franson did yesterday. We'll have that coming up at the 9 o'clock hour. But I went over to Grand Junction High School yesterday, where they had three Tiger student athletes sign. Start out with the one's going to stay right here in town, Tanner Roerig, who played football but also wrestled at 132 pounds for Tanner Ridgeway and the Tigers. He finished fifth at state at the state wrestling tournament, and he is staying in town to wrestle for Mike Mendoza. And Cover Mesa had a chance to talk with Tanner Roerig about his decision to wrestle for the Mavericks.
Tanner Roerig with us. Of course, he'll be wrestling at Colorado Mesa. And Tanner, Mike Mendoza, tremendous coach over there. It's a great program. Some national champions there as well. From over the years. Take me through your decision to go to Colorado Mesa, because it sounds like academically you had a lot of options out there. You're a really good student, but Colorado Mesa is the place you decide to go and get your education, but also go out and have some success on the mats.
I would always go in the room there just the last like month or two, and it's just a really good group of guys, and they're just good to be around, and it's just close to home. Can go do anything I want. It'll be good.
When you've met with Coach Mendoza, what about that interaction, that relationship made you go, yeah, this is the place I really want to be because of Coach Mendoza specifically?
He just kind of walked me through like even though you're coming in like a red shirt, you're not left behind. Like, we're always going to be there helping you and going to be there the whole way.
Of course, you finished up your wrestling career fifth at 132, and so, obviously you'd love to win a state title, but placing, that's the most important thing. That's a great way to wrap up your wrestling career.
Yeah, it was amazing. Always just battled injuries my whole high school career, but just to finally make it to the state tournament and place, it felt really good.
You played other sports. You played football for Coach McKee, and you mentioned dealt with some injuries and some of those things, but kind of take me through, because for any athlete, it's overcoming adversity, whether it's physical injuries or maybe some other challenges in terms of things on the field or on the mat. What do you feel like maybe learned from your football experience that helped you on the wrestling mats?
I would just say, like, kind of just like not focusing on the negatives and focusing on like what's going on that's good, and just using that to your advantage.
All right, that's Tanner Roerig, now member of the Colorado Mesa wrestling team, and his Tiger wrestling teammate Murphy Harris. He's going to stay in the RMAC and somewhat close to home. He'll be going to Gunnison to wrestle for Western Colorado University. Murphy wrestled at 126 and went to his third straight state tournament this past state wrestling tournament. Had the chance to talk with him about his decision to go to Western, and a lot of it was based on, well, his brother being there, but also just loving the Gunnison community.
With us right now we'll soon be former Grand Junction Tigers wrestler Murphy Harris. Of course, when graduation rolls around, going to go to Western Colorado University. Murphy, a program with a lot of history, rich tradition. That alone probably sold you on going to Western, but what else about Gunnison and about the Mountaineers program attracted you there?
So, you know, I love Western as a town. I grew up there the last 3 years. The Knowles took, Zach Knowles down at Central took me down there for a camp 3 years ago, and I've been going there every year since. You know, I grew up with the team. My brother wrestles there. He's been there for 2 years. He's a former Junction Tiger. But, you know, I've spent the summers up there with their team. I've grown with them. I've watched all them grow as people. I've made some people that are soon to be family. It's an amazing program. 4 years ago they took, or 2 years ago they took fourth at the national tournament. So it's just a great place to be.
As you mentioned, your brother's up there, and I mean, that's a rare situation where not only your brother's wrestling there, but you've had a chance to kind of, in a short period of time, establish some roots in Gunnison.
Exactly. He went there 2 years ago, so this is going to be his junior year when I'm up there. And every year it's been nice because whenever I transition to a new place like high school or middle school, he's always been there for me. So my transition's always been super smooth. I've had people up there that I've known for a long time.
We're talking with Murphy Harris, Grand Junction Tigers wrestler, going to Western Calgary University. For you, Murphy, what, three state trips to the state wrestling tournament? Certainly for you, that you know, what are some things you feel like you really gained in terms of improving your wrestling and, you know, get a chance to move on and wrestle collegiately? Things maybe you learned throughout the course of your career, but most notably what you picked up competing at the highest level, the state tournament.
You know, I've seen that tough competition. And the biggest thing for me, the thing that set me apart, at least I feel set me apart, is I love those tough matches. I love getting in there, and I love those close matches, the 1-2 point matches with the top three kids in the state. And those are what makes me feel like I stand out.
All right, so that's Murphy Harris, a wrestler for Charlie Piper, who, of course, Chuck, former wrestling coach at CMU. So Murphy Harris will be staying close to home and competing in the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference. So move on from the two Tiger wrestlers that signed yesterday to the golfer that signed yesterday, Maddox Lovato, who helped Grand Junction to that second-place finish at State in Montrose. He's going to Iowa Western, have a chance to talk with him about his decision to go play golf for the Reavers.
Maddox Lovato, Grand Junction Tiger golfer, soon to be Iowa Western Reaver. Golf out in Iowa. Take us through the decision to go to Iowa Western, Maddox.
Well, the main decision came down to the golf facilities that they offer. They're just absolutely amazing. They're almost D1, you know. And so that was the main factor between that and the other colleges I was looking at.
Yeah, Iowa Western, this part of the country known more for the Junior College World Series in baseball, yep. but the golf program, right, is top-notch, no doubt about that. For you, as far as this last year, second place as a team at the state golf tournament, Coach LeFabre talked about the rough first day for you, the second day where you shot a 73 and really helped the Tigers get in the position to finish runner-up at state. Kind of take us through the experience and what you learned from that, being, you know, dealing with the, you know, golf's a game of highs and lows, as you well know more than anybody. Yeah. But that was really the biggest stage you've probably been on to go through a down first round, and then that second day was a really impressive day for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say that round just taught me a lot about finishing out a tournament, especially a multiple-day tournament. You know, the tournament's not over until it's over, and that day showed that a lot because I essentially took myself out of the, you know, chance of winning the tournament outright just by myself the first day, but, you know, I was still able to come back the second day and give my team a really good chance at winning. You know, obviously we came up a few shots behind, but a few different bounces go our way that day. I mean, we win a state title, so golf's just kind of a game of taking the bounces, and we took some bounces, some good, some bad, and yeah, we got the second place.
All right, that's Maddox Lovato, will golf at Iowa Western. Congratulations to those three Tiger student athletes, will continue their athletic and academic careers. All right, coming up next hour, we'll go around the NFL. Also, we'll bring back our conversation with Connor McGahee as the Avalanche take on Edmonton tonight here on the team. That'll start at 7 o'clock, but Connor McGahee next hour, plus the Pile's favorite game on a Thursday, which is, of course, that'll be coming up next hour as well. Your favorite changed sports narrative, what is that?